Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Are you a bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, when I was in school, some of the bigger issues included, the massive booger in the third floor bathroom stall that was painted over during the summer, but still visible. Seriously, this sent repercussions through all the boys in the school. We could not believe it. Or the kid, who we never found out who it was, kept drawing penises in Sharpie on multiple teachers' desks. And a certain future radio host who was selling porn magazines to fellow classmates. Well, times have changed. Early this morning, a bullet hit a UW sorority house. This the result of a failed car theft. Also this morning, Lake Washington High School in Kirkland was evacuated after a bomb threat. Earlier this week, a 13-year-old was arrested after shooting another student on the playground at an elementary school. Meanwhile, in Maryland, a gun inside of a 9-year-old's book bag went off in the classroom. Now, no one was hurt, but 3 days before that, in Virginia, a gun accidentally fired inside of another third grader's backpack. Now, again, no one was injured, but you just have to say, damn, man, times have changed. Now, hopefully none of these things were the norm when you were in school, but that does not mean that there was not the ultimate prank, fiasco, emergency, stunt, mystery, hoax, or controversy at your school. And that's what we want to talk about today. We go back to school to revisit that one thing that became the stuff of legend. Whether you stole someone else's mascot, you picked up the teacher's car and flipped it upside down. So today's question, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration, is what was the big thing that happened at your school?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@KISW.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Oh, but away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season and episode number 4301. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. The exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. As Ted got a win last week.
Yeah.
So we move on to a listener submitted Ted versus the FCC. I wish we'd have known that, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't have spent the night, 2 o'clock in the morning it was. Where I finally put my head on the pillow, went to bed. We had an incredible creative brainstorming session. A lot of incredible tongue twisters. But we came in this morning, we got an email from Darth Travis.
Darth Travis.
And he's got
my favorite Star Wars character.
Lovely, a couple of ladies, Sherry and Sheila, and they ship sets of stuff, we'll say. Supplies.
Supplies,
and sets of other things. They are shifty, and they are shippers. So, Ted versus the FCC, a listener submitted version. Today on the program. What else do we have for you today? Oh, of course, we will drink and toast to the weekend with a shot of the day that it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday. It's Bad Choice Friday. You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Pro Taco.
And it's a Palm Sunday inspired Bad Choice Friday. Ted, you are the religious expert in this room.
Sure.
Palm Sunday. Give us the lowdown.
So in Lent, right, when you give up something, it's because Jesus is out wandering the desert for like 40 days and 40 nights.
You make it sound like he was being lazy. Jesus is out wandering the desert.
He was listening to Tiesto in the desert. It was actually the first Burning Man.
Yeah, he's out there with Jared Leto.
But when he shows up in Jerusalem, he does it. He knows, but when he gets there, people actually like him at this point.
All right.
So as a sign of respect, they're waving palms.
Okay. So we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday on a Bad Choice Friday today with a band known as the Divinals.
Come on.
Somebody doesn't eat their graham crackers.
Or cornflakes. The one-hit wonder, known as the Divinos. A song titled I Touch Myself.
You'd think they'd be more popular.
Yeah. Let's take it on. Michael Jackson.
He does it faster.
If you do the quick math there, Michael Jackson beat it, taking on the Divinos' I Touch Myself, a Palm Sunday-inspired bad choice for us.
Very religious songs here.
Vote now if you follow us on X at Men's Room Live, one of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and toast in the weekend with the shot of the day.
A small detail about that song. I believe that would be basically Toto as the backing band, right?
That is correct.
And Randy Van Halen on the lead guitar solo. Again, this is not what you think of when you think of Michael Jackson, but on that album, Quincy Jones said to Toto, essentially, hey, you guys aren't working on an album, but you guys are cool musicians. I got Michael Jackson.
Right.
That is Toto in the background, Eddie Van Halen on guitar.
The mashup that we didn't know that we needed. Yeah, Toto exactly. Featuring Eddie Van Halen.
If someone said that out loud, you'd be like, that's the worst idea I've ever heard.
Toto wrote the song Human Nature. They did the lyrics on
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For real?
That's a Toto song.
I mean, who knew?
Yeah, exactly. Vote now on A Bad Choice Friday. Follow us on X at Men's Room Live. What else do we have going on? Oh, we have a little day drinking party going on. Men's Room 20th Anniversary World Tour. Stop number 3 is tomorrow. We will be at Muckleshoot Casino with the reunited new originals and an absolutely free show. Come drink with us for a free show. Good times, day drinking, as we say cheers to 20 years.
Yeah, man.
On this fine radio station. Of course, we will have the Men's Room IPA and 20th anniversary, a lager from Black Raven Brewing, plenty of Men's Room beer brats from Uli's Famous Sausage, the Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa from our friends at San Juan Salsa Company, all benefiting our friends at the Fisher House.
Yeah.
So you're doing some good as you're doing some day drinking and day eating, so to speak. Not only that, a little live Ted versus the FCC. We will have some dad jokes for you as well. Live Big Dummy, and of course, a free show from the reunited new originals. Everything gets underway at 2 o'clock. So hopefully if you're down in the Auburn area, stop by and see us, man. It's going to be a great afternoon. Watch me win some money on the game known as Hot Stuff. I got a guaranteed $100 win.
Guaranteed, huh?
That's what you said. I got to win $100.
It's got to be $100 to say you quote unquote won. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll win the money. I'll take it up on stage and I'll flash it. And then I'll get mugged in the parking lot. But either way, I'm going to win that money tomorrow. Muckleshoot Casino, we hope to see you there. Okay, today on The Question, we're going to talk about school and the big thing that happened at your school. And as you know, depending on the town you grew up in, the sizes of the school, the teachers that you had, the friends that you ran with, there are all kinds of things that could go down. And unfortunately, as times have somewhat changed, I know that these instances have happened, throughout the course of history, but they seem to happen more frequently. And we have a bunch of stories here just out of King County, essentially. As today, Lake Washington High School staff and students, they were evacuated from the campus after a morning bomb threat, with authorities closing the school for the rest of the day for the investigation. Now, I do not know anyone in my circle or any of my friends that have ever told this story of them. And look, once you realize it's not a real bomb threat, okay, and there's hopefully nothing that will detonate, and you get to go home, as a student, you're kind of fired up that on a Friday afternoon or Friday morning,
sure,
you get to go home. But as you're finding out why you're out on the football field at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, that threat in real time is not something that you want to hear or deal with.
Well, I want to say these kids had the advantage. I don't believe any of the students were at school yet. I believe the threat was called in early enough. So basically they got word like, hey, just don't come in. But okay, you're right. If you have to go through the thing like, hey, man, you need to get on the football field, until you know something is false, it's terrifying.
A message sent to family, students, and staff at 10:05 detailed the incident. We take all threats to the safety of our students, staff, and school seriously, according to the director of communications, Shannon Parthamer. Before school began, call was made to the school office claiming there was a bomb in one of the bathrooms. And they immediately evacuated the school and contacted 911. Kirkland police were there fast. They locked all the bathrooms and conducted a search of the facilities in the entire building. Now, due to the time that was required for the search and the fact that many students and staff had not yet arrived on campus, school decided to close for the day
Students were released to go home, and families were invited to pick up their kids.
Nah, I'm going to pass.
Hey, if you want.
Nah, I'm not coming.
If not, let them walk. Lake Washington School District said it will continue to work with the police department to investigate where the source of the threat was. Now we head to UW, where there's always something exciting going on.
Well, to college, at least.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A bullet hit a University of Washington sorority house, startling sleeping college students early this morning after a car prowl was interrupted. Now, this whole thing went down at about 2 a.m. at Northeast 47th and 19th Avenue Northeast. That's Greek Row.
Right.
Yeah, it's, it's on top of the hill. You know exactly where that is. Just a little bit north of the campus there on 45th. According to Seattle police, a man reported that he caught more than one person trying to break into his car. And when he confronted them, one of the suspects tried to fire a gun, but it jammed. The group of suspects then fled, but after circling the block, they returned after they got their gun unjammed and fired several shots.
That's the part that irritates me the most, right? You're breaking into someone else's car, so it's bad enough you planned on shooting them. The gun jams, you take off. And then at some point, you're like, hey, you know what, man, let's go back and shoot this guy that had the nerve to not want us to steal his vehicle.
One of the bullets hit a second-story window of a sorority house. No one was hurt. The suspects took off and haven't been found. We never had a situation with a gun in school that I'm aware of. We did have a tragedy at a party that happened over the weekend.
College?
High school.
High school.
That involved a student, and he was basically confronting the guy that was dating his sister, and he had beaten his sister up.
Oh.
So at this party, he got in this guy's face, and then that was the end result of that.
Right.
Was all the crap that went down. So unfortunately, the guy that confronted the other guy did not make it. So that was a big deal that went down in school. But not never anything that happened in school as far as someone bringing a gun in a backpack or anything like that.
Yeah, when I was in high school, a lot of cats had guns in their backpack. It was the Baltimore way, but no one was shooting anybody. It was just, and they left it in their locker. It was just kind of understood that the wannabe gangsters would do the same. It wasn't cool, but that's how it went. But when I was in elementary school, man, we would lose a student per year, and it was not violence. It snows in Rochester, the lake or the bay freezes over, depending where your house is closer to, and inevitably, somebody went through the ice. Right? And this was every year, is always one student, and it's just weird, man, because, you know, I don't know if they still do morning announcements. I honestly have no idea. But you had the morning announcements.
They have to, right? We did not have those.
Maybe. You know, I'll ask my kids today, like, hey, man, do you guys get morning announcements? I really don't know. But at some point during the winter, you know, the teacher would come on and tell you about a student that was lost over the weekend. They went through the ice, couldn't resuscitate them. Only once was it a kid in my class. But it almost seemed inevitable that someone that you knew personally, that's how they went out. But oddly enough, living in that part of the country, that was just kind of like, well, you know, that's what happens.
Yep. As far as fraternities go.
I mean, I saw guns at parties, never in school. Yeah. I mean, we definitely ran from parties where there was gunshots.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But it still involves, for the most part, seemingly, most of the kids, people that you go to school with. Now, when I was in college, the way the Greek system worked then was they were more interested, obviously, inviting females and sorority members to their parties. They really weren't too keen on just random people showing up that were dudes and going in there and, you know, being able to have to compete with those other students.
Yeah, exactly, man.
So if you did go to a fraternity party, typically you were invited by a very close friend who was in that fraternity, or you paid $5 or $10 at the door for a red cup and, you know, just kind of made your way around. Well, a couple of guys that that I played football with, they stumbled into that party, and they were not going to pay the $5. Now, that's just, these were big dudes, and they were going to go to that party no matter what.
But still.
And they had friends that were in sororities, so they were meeting them there, whatever the deal was. I think they paid for the cups, but either way, in the middle of a living room where these old fraternity houses, the ceilings were like 13 feet high in the main areas, but, you know, bedrooms above them. They got into a confrontation and a fight with a couple of the frat guys. Well, one of the football players had a gun, and he aimed it to the ceiling and fired off 5 rounds.
He did understand the ceiling is also a floor.
And you have to remember, there are people up there drinking.
Yeah.
There are people up there that are partying. There are people up there that are passed out. These are bedrooms above that main room. Thank God, no one was injured, but at that point in time, that cleared the party out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These two were never arrested. Nothing was ever said to them.
I know one for a fact went on to be a state trooper. The other went on to be a state senator. I know both of these.
Go figure.
I know both of these people very well. Mm-hmm. But at that point in time, I mean, your heart was palpitating as we all ran out of that party.
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, you did not know what the damage was. And, of course, I'm also associated with them. I did not go with them.
Right, but you're on the football team.
But I'm on the football team. So, you know, I'm kind of lumped into that group. So I needed, with my other buddy who was a kicker, we needed to get our asses out of there. Because if we were going to be identified as a football player in there, then we're going to be questioned, blah, blah, blah. We just don't want any
problems. My money says that they come after you two before they go after the guys responsible.
Well, we can tell them who did it.
Right. Get the punter and the kicker.
Yeah, well.
No, that's what I'm saying. We know how college football works, bro, right? Oh, the football team. Okay, well, there's one guy, but like.
Right.
Who's the lowest on our food chain? All right, well, Montgomery, sorry, man. We got to let you go. Yeah.
And, I mean, we walked around that night going to bars like we were wanted men.
Yeah.
I can't really describe it.
Because those dudes are still pissed.
Yes.
And the fraternity.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, that's, we're also worried about cops. We're also worried about, because when we were walking down that hill, the cops were flying up it.
Yeah, of course.
So, and unfortunately at that point in time, the football team would give you free T-shirts to wear, sweatpants.
Yeah,
you
know, always.
Your clothes were basically this. You were easily identified as an athlete or a football player because the sweat you had on, or the T-shirt you had on, the sweatshirt you had on, or the jacket.
Any college. Even the high school I went to, you could tell the difference between team gear and stuff you can buy.
Right. And we were wearing most of that stuff because it was plentiful. It was free.
It looks cool.
And, you know, when you're not in. You know,
and it's free.
And we didn't have any money. So when you're not able to buy clothes.
Probably doesn't hurt like meeting a little, 21-year-old female. And it's like, actually, I am on the team.
Right.
I stole it out of my buddy's dirty laundry.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I used to get shoes to the facilities building. And they were turf shoes and everybody wanted them. So I could bring in a brand new pair of Nike turf shoes without cleats. You know, just the AstroTurf shoes, go to a bar, know the bartender, what's your size? 10.5. I come in and bring the shoes, man, and I would drink for free for a week.
Sure.
Because you could not get those, you could not buy those shoes.
Right.
Those were specifically for our football team.
Yeah.
The way that the colors, the way the stripes were, everything. I mean, that's the only way and the only people that are going to get these things. So they were valuable. So we used to trade stuff like that.
I mean, it's not as popular now, but like when I was in high school in the late 90s, we just wore wristbands.
Yeah.
Right. Like normally, you didn't have to be working out. It was just part of your outfit. So, like, with my senior year, right, because we had a deal with Reebok and DeMatha at the time. Now it's Nike. But I had the key to that cage where all the Iverson shoes were.
How much did you steal?
Oh, yeah. All the wristbands, all the headbands.
Actually, the Iverson shoes were awesome as far as the style.
Yeah, at the time,
I thought they were a better style than Jordans.
Yeah, I mean, it was great, but you're right. You could trade them, and then there's a tournament at the end of the year up in Cumberland, Maryland, called the Alhambra Tournament, with all these private schools from, like, Catholic schools, from D.C., Philly.
All right.
Really good basketball tournament. But that last night, there's a bunch of locals and then people from other teams, and now, like, I'm officially done.
It's a swap meet.
It is. I traded so much gear for drinks.
Yeah. Oh, just drinks.
Oh, because there was, like, adults who were like, we love DeMatha, and be like, you got any gear? Like, heard you're the guy to talk to. And me and you could guess he's been in the studio. We'd be like, yeah, come up to our room. And they'd be like, what do you guys need? We'd be like, four rum and cokes. And the guy'd be like, all right.
Easy enough.
Yeah, I get a jersey and two wristbands. Like, you damn right.
By the way, rum and coke in Cumberland, Maryland at that time probably cost $2.
Yep, you're underage.
But we couldn't go down there.
I know that.
And the hotel was the main thing, right? So, I mean, everybody's there. The coaches don't care. They're getting hammered.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm.
So our question today on this oh-so-positive Friday, what was the big thing that happened at your school? 206-803-ROCK.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A question on the Social Positive Friday. What was the big thing that happened at your school? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Troy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, I got a story for you guys. This was in West Seattle, a junior high school called Louisa Boren. If you can picture this, the school had one main hallway went north and south. Then it had three hallways off to the left, three hallways off to the right.
All right.
On the last day of school, now, me and my buddy Dale, we've never, ever, ever told anybody this story, but we would skip our last period, and we'd wait for the last 15 minutes before the bell went out. Last day of school, you know, everybody wants to leave. Him and I would run through the main hallway. We'd pull down the fire door from the roof all the way down to the ground, continue down the hallway, pull the next fire door down, then the sideways hallways, and we get everyone until we got to the last back part of the building, the back door, and we'd run out that door. Then we'd run around the outside of the school and chain and lock every single door. Now, you know, it took the janitors at least, because they had to hand crank them back up, took them at least 15 minutes per door, so everybody would be stuck in the school for at least an hour and a half, wanting to get out and go home or go have fun, and we ruined it. 1977, 1976, so it shows you how old I am. That was 8th and 9th grade. And we did that 2 years in a row. I hope the principal, one of the teachers, some of the students hear this story and go, we knew it was Troy and Dale. We were the hoodlums of Louisa Boren Junior High School.
Troy, I've got to be honest with you. Based on the time frame, those teachers aren't still alive.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it. You might have some students that you went to school with who can remember.
For sure.
But if you do the quick math on that.
Maybe you guys will get a call from one of the students going, we knew it was Troy and Dale. Kept us in the school for an hour and a half at least before they got outside. And even when they got the doors up, they had to figure out how to break the chains and locks that we locked all the outer doors.
Did you guys hang out to watch the aftermath, or did you just go home?
Oh, no. We sat across the street over on Delridge at the bus stop and just watched the chaos go off.
What did you guys do? Did you guys have chains and locks that you bought yourself and set them outside the doors beforehand?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, that's ingenuity.
2 years in a row.
Well, you didn't get caught.
We did not get caught. Nobody to this day, except for now, I'm throwing Dale and I under the bus. I'm finally admitting what we did. And, you know, I think back on it today, it was kind of dangerous. Shouldn't have done that. But, boy, it was a lot of fun back then.
Well, I think, man, you can revisit a lot of things you did as a teenager and go, man, yeah. I shouldn't have done that. But that typically is what the teen years are.
The school that I went to was a brick school with tile floors, with metal lockers everywhere. The entire structure was made out of a concrete block.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I, as far as a fire hazard, that is the last thing. Now, I'm not saying that something couldn't have maybe exploded in the chemical lab,
right,
or something like that, but nothing is going to catch on fire. All the desks were metal. Everything in that
place. But you still need an escape. My final high school, the last one I went to, was four floors. The only floor that had windows, other than the front door to the school, the only floor that had windows was the third floor. And even then, they weren't glass. It was like that kind of, you can't see through it, plastic kind of thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But that was it. The third floor. And even then, they didn't open all the way. And you had the front door to the school. There was one small back door to the school, like a single door. That was it, man. And I never thought about it at the time. But thinking back, like, if there was a fire, or like you said, some chemical thing happened in a chem lab and you had to get out of there, you're talking 1,200 students and you're literally trying to push them out of one.
Did you guys have a shop class?
Yes.
Okay. So, I go back to like SNL when Dan Aykroyd was playing. Who was the famous French lady cook?
Julia Childs.
All right. And basically, he accidentally cuts his finger.
Yeah.
And blood screams. Who knows? That basically happened in our shop class with our teacher on a table saw. He cut his finger off. All right. And blood was just going everywhere.
Were you in the class? Or
yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was in my class. He completely cut his finger off. And so, you know, blood's squirting everywhere. He is holding his hand. He runs down to the principal's office.
Somebody, I think the school nurse put the finger on ice. They were able to reattach his finger.
All right.
Believe it or not, it was such a clean cut because he just went zoop and it went gone. It was gone.
Right.
It was his pinky finger. But they reattached his finger. But just the sheer amount of blood, the terror, the look on his face, he basically turned white.
Yeah.
He was a big dude, too, and he was a tough guy. Like, he was a shop teacher, man. He basically was a man's man. And when that pinky got sliced off, man, I mean, I've never seen a look on someone's face of just like, I cannot believe what I've just done.
I mean, that's look, the to thing, be right? fair, you could be the toughest guy I've ever known, but I get the feeling if you unexpectedly lose your pinky, you kind of revert to being a scared child in that moment.
Well, not only that, but he's the shop teacher.
Correct.
So Miles is right. Part of it just has to be like, that didn't just happen. Right.
Don't do what I did, kids.
I did not just do that.
Yeah, and the reason he was doing it was because it was kind of a difficult cut. We were all doing our own projects. Some people were doing, like, shelving units or, you know, building a coffee table or whatever the hell we were doing. And the kid that he was helping, I can't remember what he was making, but it was an awkward cut on a shorter piece of wood.
Yeah.
Probably should have been done on a bandsaw, but then you do the straighter cut. So he got on the table saw, man, and I don't know if he just kind of pushed too far. But, I mean, that pinky was gone. And the weirdest thing is that until you actually, when he ran out, about six of us just stood around and looked at his pinky.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do?
It's on the table saw.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
The cut was so clean, the finger itself was not bleeding.
Right.
So it was just sitting there. And he had big, fat fingers, man. And I mean, it was a big ass pinky finger, man. And you sit there and look at it. Next thing you know, the nurse runs in. She's got a bag of ice, puts that thing on ice, and principal drives him to the hospital. This is whatever day it was during the week, he was back on Monday.
So what do you do for the rest of the class? Did they send another teacher in? I mean, like, because the kids are still in the classroom. Obviously, the class is kind of canceled, but I mean,
somebody, you know, that's like the assistant principal comes down. So, somebody, I'm sure, walked in after a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean, everything was
hell of a day, huh, kids?
Everything was put on pause for that day. What was the big thing that happened at your school? 206-803-ROCK.
We had a science teacher. I can't remember what he did. Something, nothing horrible, but he just got some kind of chemical on his hand, so he had to run out of the room.
Yeah.
But same thing, it like was burning, so he had to go wash it. But I remember, there was another science teacher, so because we had like the bottom floor was like where their science labs were.
All right,
and she came over and just kind of kept pacing back and forth.
Right, right, right.
I never had her for class, but every afternoon, she would put orange soda in a big round beaker on ice. And what? I remember she kept coming by drinking that orange soda
out of a beaker.
You know, like the big, I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying, but like, you're that much into science that you can't just drink your orange soda out of the container. You need to put it in a scientific implement to drink it.
Yes.
That's when I tell somebody, you're too into this, man.
She did it every day at the same time, and she would always stroll by the class. It just really pissed you off, because at that point, you couldn't like leave class to get an orange soda.
I remember we had it was homeroom. Homeroom's what, 10 minutes? Yeah. I was in class 9-12, I believe it was, so it's my freshman year in high school, but all of us in that class had been basically designated potential problem kids, right? So our class, notoriously, we were horrible. But we had this guy, substitute teacher. And, you know, in high school, it's just a feeding frenzy, man. And this guy, super flamboyant, and the class is treating him like any substitute teacher. Again, can you just last 10 minutes? No, he could not. I mean, he's yelling at us. People are harassing him. So he calls down to the principal, and he says, I am not going to work with this class. I am done with these. Principal tries to calm him down. It's not working. The guy's like, I refuse. And the principal, and you can hear him like, dude, it's four more minutes. I do four more minutes with this class. Blah, blah, blah. So there's another teacher that's absent that day. They just switch classrooms. We end up getting this guy, Mr. Barlow, who notoriously, you were convinced he pistol whipped your ass if you got out of line. Like, he was a tough, tough dude. So when Mr. Barlow showed up, he knew us, we knew him. Everybody was cool. Anyway, 3 minutes goes by now. The bell rings. Our first period class was Latin. And it is directly across the hall. And if you can imagine this, I'm always the last kid to get up because I just, school's about to start for real. But I hear everyone just cheering at the top of their lungs as they're going across the hall. And when I walk across the hall, the dude that did not want to deal with us in homeroom, he got us for 45 minutes of Latin class.
Oh,
and, oh dude, his face when we were, because we didn't know that's where he went.
Right.
But I just heard everyone cheering. I mean, the look on his face is like, oh my God. And we were relentless after that.
Yeah.
I felt bad. Looking back, I feel bad for the guy. Those were some of the funnest 45 minutes I've had in school, man.
What was the big thing that happened at your school? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
What's happening, fellas? How you doing?
Oh, nah. Oh, yeah. How's it Friday, John?
Well, beautiful day out here. Hey, so back in 1984, God, I'm making myself sound old, apparently our school was really into the D.A.R.E. program.
They all were. That was the time.
Well, it was news to our school because it was the name of my school was Riverdale High School, and we used to call it Reeferdale Get High School. So that should tell you. Anyway, you there?
Yeah, go ahead. We're listening.
Anyway, so the President Ronald Reagan and his lovely wife came to visit for the D.A.R.E.
They actually visited your school?
They actually came to our school, which was kind of weird because, you know, like I said, it wasn't, you could get just about any drug you wanted in high school, so it was kind of weird. But anyway, it was funny because like 2 weeks before he came, this guy came in as a janitor. He looked like he rolled right off a hippie bus, and he worked there for about 2 weeks, just pushing a garbage can up and down the hall. And then after the president came, you never saw him again.
I think we know why.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty cool, though. It was a fun day, you know, big helicopters landing on the football field, you know. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, did he, like, do an assembly and talk to you guys?
Yeah, we were in the gym, and he did, you know, he did a speech, then his wife gave a speech, then he walked down, and I don't know if your school had them, but we had those fake driver's ed cars where they were, like, 10 cars in a room, and you had to react with the, you know, the steering wheel.
Yeah, no, you know, we didn't have that.
Yeah, we didn't.
No, we didn't have that, but I know what you're talking about, sure.
Yeah. And, you know, so he sat in one of those, and I think he hit somebody.
Well, presidents aren't supposed to drive, you know.
Probably for a good reason.
Okay, that's very good.
Yeah. Actually, I think after your president, certainly during your presidency, but even when it's done, I don't think you're allowed to drive.
I don't think so either.
Right, so when you get out of office, like, it doesn't matter that you're not president anymore. Like, you cannot legally drive a vehicle.
I got a chance to see Ronald Reagan speak at an assembly in Fairmont, West Virginia when I was in school. He was running as the Republican candidate for president.
He wasn't president yet.
He was not president, but he would become president. And that was a cool experience. Sure. For me. I never walked through a metal detector before. Like,
really?
Well, I mean, not at 12 years old.
Good point.
Whatever it was, they weren't common at airports or anything. So, like, for me, it was just like, wow, this is kind of a big deal. And our school class, the people that went, we were on the floor. So they gave us really good seats, you know, just like, here's a classroom kit full of kids.
Right.
Kind of a thing. So we were down near the front, and Sam Donaldson was reporting live.
Right? Sam Donaldson.
For ABC.
And his eyebrows.
And on the other side of Sam, who was it? Ted Koppel. So I'm like, both the main guys from ABC News were broadcasting, and I just thought, I didn't really know who Ronald Reagan was.
Yeah, 12.
I mean, right. I knew that he was the candidate for the president, but at that point in time, not really something that I care about too much.
Sure.
But it was cool to watch someone speak, and it was more cool to just see the size of the cameras and and the guys doing the live shots with the lights and the, you know, I was like, this is amazing. That's Sam Donaldson. You know,
you know who they are.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they've been in your life forever.
That's what I'm saying. That's Ted Koppel right there. This is insane. What was the big thing that happened at your school? 206-803-ROCK.
That was a thing in D.C. too. Like, I don't know, sometimes you got to go to work with your, with my mom. I don't know if there wasn't anybody to watch. I don't know.
Right.
But sometimes they're like, after school, I just take the metro down there and meet her, but that was always a thing. If you went for lunch in D.C., some of those dudes just did their shows from down there.
Yeah.
So you would just see. I remember, was it Ted Koppel? One of those guys.
Peter Jennings was down there.
And he was just eating. I think it was Peter Jennings. He was just eating soup. And I was like, Mom, there's Peter Jennings eating soup. And he kind of looked over like, hey, that was it.
I'm eating soup, Ted.
Thank you.
Don't make it weird, man.
Well, even as a kid, for some reason, I have to point it out. Not just there's Peter Jennings. There he is eating soup.
You know what kind of soup he was eating?
I don't remember. He seems like a chicken noodle.
The adult Ted would have walked over
chicken
and asked.
Chicken noodle.
Hey.
What you eating, man?
Yeah. Mr. Jennings, what kind of soup is that?
Yeah, what are you rocking there?
Quarter chowder. Good call.
Is it a bisque? You look like you could afford a bisque.
What was the big thing that happened at your school? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Candy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I was in school, and I hated this class. It was a statistics class. Ugh, the worst. And this teacher, though, I don't know if he was psychic or psycho, but he, before COVID hit, he predicted, I don't know what inside information he had, but he predicted when it would explode, when the schools would stop, when the state would start to shut down and the borders. And one of our schools actually had one of the first students that was spreading it. So I don't know how he did it, but I guess the statistics really worked. But it was very bizarre. He was amazing.
He did this for COVID?
He predicted all this before it hit and everything. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what inside information he had. He kept telling us, okay, now this is about to happen, and this is going to happen. Of course, we didn't really believe it, but sure enough, he was dead on.
Well, a lot of times, if you have someone on the inside, they will let you know what's coming. It just hasn't been made public yet.
It's all probability, too.
Right.
You know, there's a probability that another thing like that will happen. I mean, it's almost a guarantee.
Sure.
And now to time it out and all those other things.
That's a different kind of thing.
Correct. What's almost a big thing that happened at your school? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Malachi. Welcome to the men's room.
Malachi.
Welcome to the men's room.
I like Malachi. Hola.
Malachi sounds like a drink at a Mexican joint.
Malachi, get over here for a minute. Show him that watch.
What?
Nothing. So, Malachi, what happened at your school?
Malachi. Jesus Christ.
So I'm on the more younger side of your viewers, 22, so this is somewhat recent. And it popped up in the newspapers, but me and my friend, we snuck out from the assembly that was happening. It was like, I don't remember what the assembly was about, but during the assembly, all of a sudden, like, me and my friend were called, we're told, oh, yeah, you have to head back to class, and we have no idea why. Everyone's heading back to class. Well, all of a sudden, I guess during the assembly, some kids got their phones and started making hotspots with very inappropriate names.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
symbols, words, lots of bad things, and accusing our principal of very funny stuff. It was very messed up. And then all of a sudden, so after that, we all had to sit there in class and being scolded over the, over the intercoms for stuff only like probably five students did.
Did they say any of the names that the kids were posting or any of the accusations?
No, because no one knew who posted them, because, you know, it just shows the hotspot.
Yeah.
And whatever the name of the hotspot is doesn't show the name of the person.
Okay.
And then like a week later, I look at the newspaper, because I'm like one of the few kids in the world that looked at a newspaper, and I see Glacier Peak High School accused of racism and terrorist threats. And I just sat there like, oh, our school is known for this now.
Well,
and I want to say like a month later, a kid drove his truck through the front door of the school.
Why?
Oh,
on purpose or by accident?
I have no clue, but it was the joke of the school for like a month.
I'm sure at that age, the last thing you want to do is get rid of your mode of transportation, because
right.
That thing is your lifeline to freedom.
That's why I'm asking. Do you think it's an accident
or purpose?
I'm
saying the pedal stuck.
Yeah, and also at that age, it's very possible. Man, yeah. I mean,
that seems like a bigger story than the hotspots.
Oh, driving into the school?
Yeah.
Well, it depends, right? If it's by accident, it's just a quick story in human interest. If it's on purpose, it's a big story. But to his point, my father told me this years ago. I had witnessed something on the way to school. And when I got home that night, the evening news was covering it, but they kind of got everything wrong. And I said to my father, I'm like, there's like 20 of us waiting at the bus stop. We saw this thing happen. That is not what happened, right? Anyway, and he goes, look, what you're going to find as you get older is the closer you are to being a witness to something, the farther away the news story is going to seem accurate, which is not a dig on local news. Maybe they just won't get the right information. But to his point, some kids are joking around and set up some awful hotspots. But the way it's portrayed is,
right.
You know, terrorism, racism. It's like, dude, it's not all that. It's kids being kids. That's all.
What was the big thing that happened at your school? 206-803-ROCK.
Right, and they're going to say that stuff like...
It's more clickbaity. I get it.
I was just saying, and they're trying to get a rise out of it. I'm not excusing it. I'm
right.
Just saying there was stuff we would say in high school that I would never say now.
Yeah, of course.
It was just to get a rise out of people.
It really is.
Like, even some of the jokes and stuff you would say, like, as an adult, like, ugh.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm with you. Like, those kids putting those names on there, like, they're just doing that to get a rise out of that teacher, the principal, and it worked.
Our question on the So Positive Friday, what was the big thing that happened at your school? 206-803-ROCK.